most people open a second salon way too soon and they're actually not ready because there's some blind spots. Let's talk about the three things that people underestimate about opening a second location. What would be the one at the top?
The number one is that you think you can just copy and paste. Like you think it all worked here, so I'm just going to pick it up and throw it over here. I thought I was so smart. Was like, oh, the second salon is going to help cover all my costs. So my margins are now going to go through the roof. Like, this is going to be great.
It's not true.
It's not true. None of it's true. You have different cultures, different pieces. People need different things. And the salons are in very different stages. So one salon needs this from you and one type of leadership, and another one needs something completely different.
Sophie, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm so chuffed to have you here.
Oh, thanks, Riss. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I want to kick off this episode with, like, who the heck are you, Sophie? And how do we know each other? So let's just start with 8 years ago we met. And do you want to just walk us through, like, what was going on for you 8 years ago? Why did you reach out? Yeah, let's just start with that. Who the heck were you 8 years ago?
Yeah, 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I reached out. I had been a sole trader for about, I think it's about 7 years, and I had started to build a team. I had no idea what I was doing, and I think I was in a whole heap of trouble, and I had been listening to your podcast for a while, so reached out kind of being like, help.
Please help. Okay, so my memory is that you had not long moved out of your home salon in the garage. You'd had a couple of teams, and you'd gone into, your words, my first official salon, like on a proper location, proper shop. Tell us what was life like then?
Yeah, so we had moved to the first commercial. It had come up. I wasn't quite ready for it. I still had a young baby. But I was like, right, we're going to take this opportunity. And then I think I was a really great therapist, but I had a lot of people skills and business skills that were I needed yesterday. So I think, yeah, I was having some issues with team. I wanted to understand more how to have a productive business. And I could see that there were lots of holes, but I didn't know the answers. And when I listened to your podcast, you were just talking my language. And I was like, oh, I just need to have a chat with you. And kind of went from there.
So we hung out. You were one of our very early Salon Mastery owners. And I feel like we had a good time. Like, we went through COVID together, and we had a really great group of owners that were, you know, there was a small group of us, and yeah, I feel like it was a good tight-knit group. We had a good time.
Oh, we had an amazing team. They were awesome.
But what was most important, Sophie, is that you did the work and everything changed for you, and you had a $1 million salon, and at some point we had a conversation and we decided that you should come and help me do some coaching.
Yeah. I think I was, yeah, the salon was going well. I had a lot more flexibility. I had some time on my hands, and you and I were still chatting. And I think I'd said to you how I was doing some gardening and I was wanting another challenge.
Yes. All right. You were planting kumara from memory. One of my goals, of, you know, always in our conversation when we were coaching together was, you know, how do we get you freedom and profit, like freedom from the day to grind because you had two little babies at home, and how do you be ridiculously profitable? And you achieved both of those. Ridiculously profitable, you had lots of free time. Not only were you, had your two kids, your dad at home, but also now you are planting kumara. We're like, we can't let that brain go to waste. We must work more of Sophie's brain. So you came and joined us, and that was 4 years ago that you've been part of the Salon Mastery coaching team and supporting other owners to get more freedom, get more profit, and build $1 million businesses. But then something really interesting happened about 2 years ago. You decided to have a second salon. And I really want to talk about that, because that's actually the purpose of this episode, actually, is what is it like to run two salons, actually? So before we go into how and why, and is it a good idea? I just want to give some backstory to this and like why I feel this is important. One of my observations, and it's an observation because one, I did it myself. Two, we have this opportunity to talk to many, many salon owners. My observation is that most people open a second salon way too soon and they're actually not ready because there's some blind spots. I did it. I thought I'm on top of the world. I've got a profitable business. This is really successful. I had a team member actually who said, I really want to work with you, Larissa, but I don't want to work in the suburb that your salon is in. If you ever come to the city, look me up, I'll come and work for you. And at the same time, I had seen a salon that was for sale, which I didn't buy, by the way, and then I saw that it was for lease. So I was like, I might just open a second one because I've already got a team member, bit of an opportunist. And I see this same thing happen as I think people aren't prepared enough or don't really know what they're walking into. And that's why I thought, here's somebody who's done it, doing it, and maybe you'll share some insights of like, what does it actually look like? The pros and the cons of having two locations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely one that many of us have chatted about before, and there's it's always a combo.
So why don't you start with, because I want to go like, what are the reasons it's amazing and what are the reasons that like maybe you're not aware of, like before you jump in and do it? Let's just start with what was the inspiration or what was the decision? Tell us that journey. Like, how did you get to have two? Go with you first.
Absolutely. So the our main one was doing really well. I had a lot of flexibility. I was coaching and I wasn't planning on it, but an opportunity actually came to me of a salon. And it was at a great price. I thought, hey, I've been wanting to sink my teeth into something and I already have a great salon. So I'm just going to copy and paste it over there and double the money. This could be really cool in about a year. You know, that was the dream. And then we just lunged in. I think I was actually in Thailand when I got the keys. It all happened within 3 weeks. So it was just one of those kind of fast processes. And thought this is a good opportunity to give two a go because, you know, you and I had many conversations about it. And I thought, let's just give this a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's talk about what would you say, Soph, are the top three reasons that having more than one location, like why would it be a great thing to do? Like what's amazing about it?
I loved what it did for us as a brand. Like suddenly I grew from a garage to then another space to then having two. So what that did for our brand, from our clients' perspective, and even our team's perspective, they were exciting. Like they were excited, the motivation behind it all. That was fun not to be just seen as a small little home salon clinic now. That was exciting. The other one was the marketing. Our marketing became a lot more powerful because you had two locations. So people took you a lot more seriously. You had two opportunities to show them. So that was super exciting as well. And it's also fun setting up a new space and you can get all shiny object on it as well. So that was fun. So it's from a brand's presence, that growth was amazing. So that was great.
I love that. Okay, cool. So I love that people take you more seriously because you've got two locations. Like I remember that being a thing. I had a similar experience when I used to have, when I was young and blonde, and then I suddenly went dark and I suddenly noticed that people treated me differently. So that can happen in multiple places. Okay, so what else? What would be another reason that it's like great?
I loved the resource side from team. That was brilliant. So then we could have, in the beginning, we moved some of our team from our original clinic into the other one. And then as the teams grew, if someone was sick, you had more people that you could move between. Availability, opening hours, the resource of two was really fun to play with. It was something new. And recruitment, that was something that was really surprising to me. Where our original clinic was, there was only not many people would come out from the city to go to that clinic to apply to be to work there. But when I put ads out for our new location, it went crazy. And then when they came in and had a chat, they were all like, oh, no, I'd be more than happy to go to either clinic. So So that gave us a whole new level from a recruitment to just because people were excited about the brand and they wanted to be involved.
That's super interesting, isn't it? That actually people are open after all, but they want to be maybe know what's inside, like know more about the brand and be sold on the concept before they're prepared to go the extra mile.
Yeah, do you think? Absolutely.
What about opportunities for the team? Did that feel like that expanded with two locations?
Yeah, huge from a leadership point. Particularly, we had a really great team at the original, so we could see opportunities for them to grow, to become in leadership positions. So that was massive. And I knew going forward, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. So the opportunities for them going forward, they could see it too. So it gave them future growth, which is huge.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. What do you think? What else? What else was surprising but awesome about having two locations?
The third thing that I liked about it was it showed me every single hole in the business. Like if you wanted growth, you suddenly, by having two, everything broke. You saw everything just because you had to. So in terms of a learning opportunity, I love feedback. So that was good for myself just to see where the holes were in a business that I thought was pretty bulletproof. I suddenly went, okay, I've got some room to grow. So that I take that as a positive because I could see where the cracks were very quickly and had to sort them out.
I love that you thought that the business was bulletproof and then suddenly you had this sort of 360 view, or like suddenly you had this helicopter view of your business from a completely different vantage point, and now you could see some things. I reckon that's a business lesson for anybody. Anytime that I feel too confident or maybe that I'm getting a bit cocky, you know, I have a little chat with myself to say, this is the danger zone. You think that you can see everything. Actually, you just can't even see what you can't see. And I feel like you had that. It's like, oh, I thought it was bulletproof, but now you had this new vantage point and you're like, oh, okay. And actually, under this stress or this circumstance, it's not bulletproof at all.
No. I felt like that with babies. I had one, nailed that, give me two, and I was like, this is not the same.
So I just thought, oh, yeah, I've worked out how to do babies now. This is what you do to make them go to sleep. And then my second one didn't sleep for 11 months. Golly. Yeah. Okay, cool. I love that you put that under, like, the good things, the advantage. Like, if you want to learn or you want to grow, open another business and that will stretch you to, you know, goodness knows where. Because some people could see that as a stress or as a challenge. It's interesting that you bring that one up because I remember several times when I had my salon, I haven't done that yet in this business, is where I think, oh, well, we're here now. You know, we've achieved the goal. I've got everything out of this business that I possibly can. And maybe that's simply not true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's always the destination, or what I used to think was, when is this done? Like that used to be a concept to me, is when is this done? And I've now learned it is never done. Like you're just sitting at where you are, and things are changing all the time. So but the business is never done until it's sold and finished, but then it's done.
Yeah. So when the quiet calm takes and you've got time to plant kumara, like hold on to that for dear life, because
Enjoy that feeling.
Okay. Let's talk about the three things that people underestimate about opening a second location. What would be the one at the top?
The number one is that you think you can just copy and paste. Like you think it all worked here, so I'm just going to pick it up and throw it over here. Yeah, I think that was just, when you say it, it sounds so silly, but that was the logic behind it, is you had a successful business, you know those lessons, you're just going to do them the same. But the things that were massive behind looking is the reputation you had already built up in your first salon. How long did it take? I had really strong roots to the community, so I had a huge community support, whereas our new one, there was no community support. I knew nobody, so I definitely felt that to be like, wow, this is going to be a whole new, nobody knows me here.
Because you grew up, or because you lived in the community that you opened your first salon, like, did you have such a strong community?
Yeah, I knew the community. You had friends, you had school friends. I knew the schools. I just knew it all. So you could confidently go in, whereas, and community likes supporting community. Whereas walking into a brand new community and no one knows you, that's a whole new, whether that be something that's a block in your own mind or maybe it's something between, like, it's just, it's not the, for my experience, it wasn't my stomping ground. So I was like, oh, this is new. This is a new space, which I just had, I hadn't thought about that before I got out there.
Did you experience the same with the clients or the team, like that was more different than you expected?
Completely different clientele, different culture, different bookings, like wanted different types of treat, like everything was different. So I now wasn't just copying and pasting. I had to be like, well, it's a different clientele. Very different to where we were, down to how people might present themselves in a salon versus how they would at the other one, their spending habits, how much someone was prepared to buy for an eye cream here versus an eye cream here. Like really small things that you hadn't thought about that there were important to this new set of clients versus the other one. So I think it's realizing that it's every salon is unique. And that's just from a client perspective. Then add in a team and a culture piece. That's, you cannot just copy and paste your current team culture and throw it over here and say, you know, do your thing. So that was a really big piece as well.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though, if you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do. Well, don't worry. I got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. It definitely mirrors my experience. Even though you could say same brand name, same systems, physical location and expectation for each location, I had the same between the inner city CBD and the suburb, chalk and cheese. Yeah. Okay. So what else? What do you think would be the other unexpected, underestimated thing to think about?
Yeah. One that I remember being so excited about and I thought I was so smart was like, oh, the second salon is going to help cover all my costs. So my margins are now going to go through the roof. Like, this is going to be great. Because I thought, you know, you're going to have one accounting bill. You're going to share the same website, software. You're just going to be able to make more out of having two. But there is a couple of places, yes, this is correct. But then once I got deeper into it, it's not. It's just double. Everything's just double. It makes more sense. From my experience, is that you don't have the businesses under the name, the same company. I needed to have two separate companies. Whether that was to protect it from later on, if you might bring in a business partner, or perhaps you were going to, one of them went down and you don't want to take out both, like just to keep them separate. There was suddenly double the costs and double the normal costs as well of everything, of marketing and wages and stock and double business. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was unexpected.
Yes.
Could you combine the marketing, or was the demographic difference so different that you actually had to do completely different things?
You could use the same ideas. So my copy and paste concept was there, but no, you're still spending different locations, different newspapers, different taglines. It's still all separate. So it's just double. Just separate businesses going out. So yeah.
Tell me about leadership and when it comes to, was that an advantage or a disadvantage? Because in my mind, I'm like, well, now you need two managers. You need one manager in each because you physically can't be at both. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think that was one, again, that I thought you just copy and paste. I have an incredible team. So I felt really fortunate in growing teams that felt really productive on their own and all to work. But in the end, you do need to have a leader in there who's taking place. And if you don't, then what is that going to mean? So, and from my experience, it could work incredibly well if you had the income to be able to support a full-time leadership role or to bring in people who are experienced in those areas, incredible. But when you're first starting out, you might not have that money there. So then it's going to fall on you. So then, yeah, I think that was a really good lesson just to be aware of, is the leadership required to run to. If you don't have that in your budget, it's going to fall on you. So be prepared for 40 to 60 hours again to build your salons.
Yes, because whatever you were doing in the first salon, like, that doesn't immediately go away just because you opened a second one. That's still there, whether you had it, you know, whether you had it or not. And that whole, well, copy and paste, it'll just be the same. And so I can double my, like, I can do two things for the same amount of effort.
Yes.
What you're saying is it's not true.
It's not true. None of it's true. You have different cultures, different pieces. People need different things. And the salons are in very different stages. So one salon needs this from you and one type of leadership, and another one needs something completely different. So then you have to sit there to be like, well, can I be both? Which just from in the end, we've only got so much time in the day. So now you're going to have to do both of them. Or can you somehow go find someone to be that person that you're needing? But you need to know who that is and be very clear on it. So there's just so many pieces to the puzzle rather than just copy and paste, and I can do both. I think when you suddenly have two, it's a lot more complex. And it wasn't till I was in it that I went, wow, this is a lot more of a machine than I probably initially thought.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because it's not that we always necessarily have somebody in our business that can step into leadership. Like if we do and we can develop somebody, that's great. But if we don't, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Because then you put it on fire them, right? But then to bring in someone at that level of leadership, it's not a small income. Like, you're not bringing someone in at minimum wage or something. You're going in to find someone who's experienced to be able to give you time back and has the skill sets that the team are going to need to see them as a leader. So, yeah, it just becomes a lot more tricky.
So actually you need better margins as you grow, and you can't rely on margins of scale. So what I mean by that is if each business has a small margin, you go, well, a small profit plus a small profit equals a big profit for me. That's actually not the case, because you need now to have bigger margins in each of the businesses, because some things are doubled, and leadership, like, you need to steal that margin from somewhere to pay for leadership. You not to be working 40 and 60 hours.
And it all depends on the dream. So, like, I had played with formulas being, how many salons would you need till then you could be able to create these extra roles of the behind the scenes experience to be able to do what I'm trying to do? And it's not two. So if you're just wanting to go, I know I'm just going to double and still do this little game, I'm kind of going, well, unless you want multiples, you're going to step into a whole new game which requires a lot more time and money. And do you want to work 60 hours a week?
Yeah, especially if you've achieved the goal. Because I think one of the times that people think about opening a second location is that they've worked themselves to a certain point of freedom. For us, that's our goal, right? We want to get the day-to-day operation. We want to have a flexible, profitable business that achieves great things, but we're not tied to the churn, you know, to the daily burn. But what happens when you get there is you're like, oh, I don't know if I like this feeling of, like, I can just float around, because now there's no strong purpose. I've achieved all the goals. What's my next goal? You're a creative, ambitious, entrepreneurial type. Like, that does not feel comfortable.
No.
And so what's going to keep me distracted now? I know. I'll open another business. I've done this many times, Sophie. So fallen into that trap, that is. So I think today's conversation has been really useful to just land some of the, just really think about this and what is the long-term goal maybe of the ambition, like what are you really trying to achieve, like project forward a little bit into the future of what you actually want, because are you prepared to go through the thick of the forest to come out to the other side where there's a nice sunny patch again?
Yes. Yeah, 100. I think that exactly is my thoughts now, is what is the end goal? And just going, oh, copy and paste, that's not it. And to think of a bigger idea of what you're wanting to achieve and your lifestyle balance, what does that look like? I think then you can come, you'll more likely land where you want to, what you want to do.
So why don't we come full circle back to you, Soph? You still coach with us and lead a bunch of amazing salon owners and help them grow, which is amazing. You've got the two salons, but like, what does the picture look like for you now? And what is the end goal? Where are you to is the end goal?
Yeah, I've still got the two, and our main one, it's still our biggie. It's the one that requires majority of my time and where my effort is majority spent. For the future, we will see where it shines. Both clinics still do really well, but I can feel that it was definitely a different experience to what I had thought was going to happen going into it. So I just think it's where you want to spend your time and doing it, whereas it's just been more of a bumpy journey than perhaps what we thought. Yeah.
Okay. The future remains to be seen.
Yes.
So maybe there's not, 12 salons in your future?
No, I guess that's a good way of looking. Yes. Once upon a time, I did want multiples. I had looked at London. My brother's based over there. So we had always talked, let's go and do them over there. But no, I don't think that's not the dream anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we should wait and see what shall become. So, all right. Any final thoughts about, for anyone who is maybe reached a goal and is now thinking about what's next or wants to double revenue so they can double profit?
Yes.
Any final thoughts?
I think the smartest move I've done when I've thought of this is breaking out of the norms of what you think a salon has to be, like two late nights and I'm open 5 days. Use your current location to the best that you can. We're now open 7 days a week with six late nights, and just really enjoy the space and use the most out of it till you decide I might go further. I think that was one when I opened the ceiling, I went, why do we only have two late nights? And then when we opened them, it was like, it was a whole new experience. So I think maybe thinking creatively before just jumping to saying, let's open another one.
Yeah, and not everybody worked six late nights and 7 days of the week. Like you did smart things about that. But what you're really saying is you optimized the space to not have two rents, but just to maximize every minute that you're paying your rent.
Yeah. Then you just get really clever with 4-day rosters and then the team loves you even more.
Exactly my experience. And in fact, if you get good at Tetris, you can do really good rosters and everybody has a good time. Like a 32-hour week, isn't that like the norm now, Soph?
Yeah, for a team? 100%. No one wants 40.
No. All right. Well, maybe you can come back in a year or so and just give us an update of what has become of the journey. And for you listening, I hope this has been insightful and there are some good food for thought for you to chew on. Until next time, see you same time, same place on the podcast. Ciao for now.